All right, today we're daf Lamed Chet. Lamed Chet, we're making our way through Masechet Pesachim. So I'll go over the Gemara from yesterday and we'll take on today. Two lines from the bottom, or three lines from the bottom on Lamed Zayin with Beis, Amar Rav Asi. So Amar Rav Asi, Issa Shemaser Sheni. Now, Rav Asi has three halachot, and the idea is that the Tana Rav Meir holds that Maser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. According to Reb Meir, Maser Sheni, which we eat in Yerushalayim, really is like belonging to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he's letting you eat the food. And according to Chamim, it's Mamon Hedyot. So based on that machloket, I'll say it outside and I'll do it inside. Rav Asi is going to say for three halachot, it has a different. According to Reb Meir, like the Isa doesn't belong to you, so it's Patur from Chala, and the matz is a Maser Sheni, you can't be fulfill the obligation, and it's a Maser Sheni, you can't fulfill the obligation, because in each case it has to belong to you, and it doesn't belong to you according to a mayor, and according to the Chamim it does belong to you. So now we'll do it inside. So Amar Vasi, two lines from the bottom, Isa Shemaser Sheni, a dough of Maser Sheni, the Divir of a mayor, Ptur Menachala. According to the Tanur mayor, it's Ptura from Chala, it's exempt from the mitzvah of Chala, because it doesn't belong to you. And the Gemara is going to say, it says, Arisotechem, your dough, and it's not your dough, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dough. He says, the Divrei Chachamim Chayevet B'Chala. According to the Chachamim, it's obligated in Chala. The top line on Lamed Chet Amud Aleph, he says, Matzot Shemaser Sheni, the matzahs that were made from Maser Sheni, the Divrei Reb Meir, Ein Adam Yotzei Bayidei Chobatel, BePesach. According to Reb Meir, nobody can fulfill their obligation on Pesach because the matzah has to belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Divrei Chachamim Yotzei Bayidei Chobatel BePesach. According to the Chachamim, you could fulfill your obligation with it. And the third halacha, the third line, Etrog Shel Maser Sheni, an Etrog that belongs to Maser Sheni, the Divrei Meir, Ein Yotzei Bo Yidei Chobato B'Yom Tov. According to Reb Meir, you can't fulfill your obligation with an Etrog of Maser Sheni. The Divrei Chachamim, Adam Yotzei Bo Yidei Chobato B'Yom Tov. Okay, so again, those are three halachot that Rav Asi says. Again, I'm just repeating again what I said before. According to Rav Asi, is focusing on the machloka between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Reb Meir holds that Maser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. That which is Maser Sheni doesn't belong to you. You're eating it, but it doesn't belong to you. You're eating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's meal. So it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Asi says, and according to the Chamim, it's Mamon Hedyot. It's your money. So based on that, Rav Asi says there are three halakhot that you're going to have a different halakha with the if it's from Maser Sheni. So dough of Maser Sheni is going to be Ptur Benachala because you don't own it. It has to be Ariso Teichem. And then Matzah of Maser Sheni, you can't fulfill your obligation on Pesach because it's not your matzah. And then Etrog of Maser Sheni, you also can't fulfill because that's to belong to you. That's what Rav Asi said. So around the sixth line. So Matkiv La Rapapa, Bishlema Isa Dechtiv Ariso Teichem Mishalachem. So it says, okay, so I understand by the dough. So it says, Arisotechem, Rishit Arisotechem, Chalat Terimu Truma. The first of your dough, you'll take. So there it says, has to be your dough. So Shoin, I understand that. Etrog Nami, Dechtibu Lekachtem Lachem, Lachem Yishalachem Yehei. And by Etrog, the Torah says, Lekachtem Lachem, you take for yourselves, it has to belong to you. I'm good with those halakot. So halakha 1 and 3, I'm good with. Ela Matzah, the middle halakha, Miktib Matzachem. Does the Torah ever say, Matzatchem, it has to be your matzah. It says Be'erav Tochlu Matzo. It doesn't say Matzatchem anywhere. So Amar Rava, V'yitema Rav Yemar Bashlemya, Atya Lechem Lechem. So he learns Gzeir Shava. It says Lechem Lechem, the same word in two places where there's Mesorah that they're linked. He says K'tiv Hacha Lechem Oni. It says by Pesach that Shvayim tochal matzot lechem oni. It calls the matzahs lechem oni. He says, but it's called lechem. Uchtivatam vayab achol chemi lechem haaretz. It says by chala, when you eat lechem haaretz. So I have lechem by matzah and lechem by chala. So those two halachot are linked together. Malahalan mishalachem. So I know by the dough, it has to belong to yours to be chayv and chala, afkan mishalachem. So to here, it also has to belong to you. Okay, so that we were mevarer. So challah is connected to the dough, in other words, the halacha of matzah rather, is connected to the mitzvah of challah. Just like challah has to belong to you, your matzah has to belong to you as well. Let me just do a few lines, and I'll pause, and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Lema Messiah, should I say that the following brisa supports Ravasi?" It says, "Isha Shomaser Sheni." Now Ravasi is an Amara, and now we're going to have the brisa. The brisa says, "Isha Shomaser Sheni." If you have a dough of Maser Sheni, it's Petura Menachala Divir Remeir. So here the brisa is explicit. The Remeir, not that we have to extrapolate from Meir's opinion. We knew the Remeir said that Maser Sheni is Mamam Gavoa. Now the brisa says explicitly that the dough of Maser Sheni is Petura Menachala Divir Remeir. And the Chachamim say it is Chayev. So the Gemara says, "Lame Messiah, Hainu Hach." What do you mean should support him? That Gufa is it. And it's like, that's on all fours exactly what Ravasi said. That's his halacha. So the Gemara says, "Hachi Kamar." This is whatever the Gemara that was speaking. This is what he was saying. "Lema Mide Pligi Beisa Baharach Nami Pligi." Should we say that since they have, in other words, we have Mefurish now that there's Machloket between Remeir and the Chachamim about the challah, if it's Matzah Sheni. And we said that matzah was linked to challah. So we know that matzah and challah, that they definitely have machloket about. But the Amora was saying to him, "Lema mi depligi be'isa barach dami pligi." Should we say they also have the same machloket by Etrog? He says, "Odilma shani hatam," or maybe Etrog is different than challah. He says, "Dechtiv arisotechem, arisotechem trezimne." Maybe there's different types of ownership or different levels of ownership. Perhaps the Torah is teaching me that by the challah and by the matzah, there is the arisotechem. And again, they're linked with the Gzeira Shava, so matzah also definitely says it twice, so it has to 100% belong to you. But perhaps by estrog, perhaps when the Torah says l'kachtem lachem, maybe it's just that it can't be gazul, it can't be stolen, and it can't be shaul, it can't be borrowed, but perhaps it could be this Maser Sheni. In other words, maybe even Reb Meir, who says that Maser Sheni is mamon gavoa, maybe he will agree, perhaps, but by estrog, you could be yotze with that estrog from Maser Sheni. Let's see the Rashi on that. On the fourth wide line in Rashi, Trezimne, it says Arisotechem, Aval Hatam Lachem, but it says Lachem by the Etrog, Lemiuti Shaul Begazul. To exclude, it can't be borrowed, it can't be stolen. Aval Etrog Shomaser Sheni, Haitit Yavle La Achila, Nafik Bey, Vafil Remeir. But the Etrog Maser Sheni, I can eat it, so maybe that's enough of mine that I could be Yotze the Etrog with it. So that's why he said Lema Messiah. Should we say it supports, you know, Ravasi, meaning the estrog is a little, is you know, it's not 100% muchrach that Remeir would hold that way. Okay, so I have more to say on this, but let me just take some questions, comments, and thoughts, and then I'll say whatever I have. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far?
I just want to ask you, it seems like Rav Papa takes the side of Rav Meir. No, when you said Matkifle Rav Papa Beshlama, and he says arisotechem, it's like a dikduk class here. Arisotechem is isa mishelachem, and mm-hmm. then he compare it to velakachtem lachem, which is equal mishelachem.
Right.
Yeah, etrog ela, and that's how he gets to it. No.
Right. So what's the question?
The question is Rav Papa is agreeing with Rav Meir.
Wait, again. So Ravasi has his halachot Ravasi is saying Rav Meir will hold this way in A, B, and C. That's what Ravasi says. So Rav Papa says, I understand A and C. I understand by chala your argument that Rav Meir would hold that way because it says arisotechem. I understand that by etrog he'll hold that way because it's lakachem lachem. But by matzah, I don't understand. Why is there a requirement that you have to even own the matzah? In other words, where are you coming off with this, Ravasi? In other words, we don't know what Remeir holds. We know Remeir holds that Maser Sheni is
mamon. Say matzotechem, yeah.
We know that Maser Sheni is mamon gavoa, but how does that equal that you can't fulfill the matzah with it? Where does it say the matzah has to belong to you? That's what Rav Papa is saying. Okay. And then Rava says, and some say it's Rav Yehuda Bar Shlemya, there's a Gzeira Shava between the dough of challah and the matzah. So matzah also has to belong to you. All right? Everybody else good?
Where does it say I was sitachan two times?
So if you look in the parsha with challah, it says reishit v'sitachem challah tarim etzurah. If you look in the Chumash, I'm sure you'll find another Rabbi Sotechem there, because the Torah says it twice. By
challah or by matzah?
Mereshita, it says.
No, by challah. By challah, it says it twice. It doesn't say it.
One of them, it doesn't say the other one.
Okay,
that's one. Where's the other one? That's one. Where's the other one?
So he's got it. Okay, so he has it twice there. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, now let me do a little bit. Now, there's a lot of Torah on this matzah belonging to you business. And so let me go over some of the Torah on this, and then we'll take it from there. So now the first I have is from the Al Hadaf by Rabbi Zev Dickstein. He says the Rush points out that although the Chachamim validate matzah of Maser Sheni, in other words, the Chachamim say you could be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with Maser Sheni, because they hold that Maser Sheni is mamon ed yot, and it's your money, so you could be yotzei with it. He says they agree with the other halacha that matzah must be shalachem. So everybody agrees that the matzah has to belong to you. It's just a question, what's the status of Maser Sheni? But everybody agrees the matzah has to belong to you. Consequently, he, means the Rush, submits that matzah gzula is invalid, because it's mishalachem, not mishalachem, it's stolen, and that we have. Now, he says several practical applications of this halacha. If several people simultaneously use the same oven for baking matzahs and the matzahs get mixed up, the matzahs that one eats at the Seder lack the status of mishalachem. In other words, like if it's like a hodgepodge, like in Europe, you know, everybody would keep the challant in the oven and then grab it afterwards and nobody knew what they were grabbing. So I think Mitchell Shapiro said that somebody in his family had the oven or whatever in Europe. But the thing is,
the carbon Pesach is shared yet.
Yeah. But he's saying like this. In other words, if nobody knows so the Ravid therefore advises people who bake together declare matzah should belong to whoever happens to take them. By making this declaration, everyone will legally own whichever matzahs they take home. Okay, now the Mishnah Berurah says that if the seller demands immediate payment for the matzahs, one does not acquire legal possession of them until he pays. If the buyer in such a case delays payment until after Yontiv, he does not fulfill the mitzvah with them, because the matzahs that he eats at the Seder are not legally his. So if the seller is demanding payment and you haven't paid up, you have a problem just the yotze with it.
Wait, let's
just hold off and then wait. Well, let me mute everybody. I'll pause just a few minutes, okay? Think of the questions, take a notepad out and write it down, and I'll be there just in a few minutes, okay? Now, the Gemara in Brachot on Lamed Hay says that eating food without reciting a bracha is akin to stealing from Hashem and from Knesset Yisrael. So based on this, the Elif Lachash Shlomo asserts that if one fails to recite Hamotzi before eating matzah, he's compared to one who eats stolen matzah, and he's required to eat more matzah with a bracha. In other words, you're not yotzei if you don't make a bracha. Michael doesn't hold from this. Okay, now, here's the key element. The Sfas Emes, which is the second Ger Rebbe in Sukkah, says that a host who provides matzahs for his guests at the Seder should explicitly transfer ownership of the matzahs to them, so they should legally own the matzah that they eat. Now, he concedes, however, the prevailing custom is not to do so. Now, let me just say a little bit more with this. Everybody's talking about this, so...
That was my kasha.
It's coming. So if you're patient, everything happens there. Now, Rav Blumas has this in his sefer. He quotes, the basic idea is let me say it outside. Like, let's say I'm a host and I invite you to dinner. So you say, well, isn't mine? He's letting me eat it. But it's not 100% yours. In other words, like, let's say I want to take the matzah and I'm sitting at your table. I say, I hope you don't mind, I'm giving this matzah to the next door neighbor. So is the host going to be good with that? Or I want to take this matzah, I want to be Mekadosh Nisha with it. Not that it would be the most romantic thing to do. But the thing is, in other words, the ownership means I could do whatever I want with it. But can I do whatever I want with the matzah at the table? In other words, the host is letting me eat the matzah at the Seder, but it's more limited what I could do. So then the question becomes, do I really you know, own the matzah sufficiently to fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, the best idea is if the owner explicitly, if the host is explicitly says, I am machna to you, you know, these matzahs, you know, that you use before Pesach so that you have full rights to it. But in Achira, now let me see, he says a little bit over here. In other words, one must have a degree, this is from the Al-Hadaf sheet, going with the Sfas Emes. In other words, one must have a degree of ownership such that he has the full legal rights even to sell it, right? In other words, could I take matzahs off the table and sell it to somebody? You think the host would be good with that? So he says, if so, a guest at someone's home would need to attain legal ownership of the matzah by having the owner give it to him in a legally binding present. Indeed, for the owner to give simple permission to the guest to eat from the matzah would not give the guest such all-encompassing control over the matzah. However, the common custom is not to be careful in this regard. Now, this we had. Let me see what else he's got here. Let me see here. This is what this safer. 1 minute.
I thought we dealt with this in the first Tosus in Sukkah on Lulav HaGazel, that there were really only a few mitzvot where Lechem was critical. And those were mitzvot L'Ratzos as Hashem, so Shofar, Lulav.
That's in the sugya of mitzvah baba veira, is it not? In other words, when he talks about ritsui is with mitzvah baba veira. That's in lulav gazul. Yeah, but it's connected, but I don't know if it's quite the same. That's going from the tzad of mitzvah baba veira, which is also shayach here as well. But here he's focusing on the fact that you have to own the item. In other words, not the mitzvah baba veira part, though the two do have somewhat of a. They interrelate with one another. Now,
Wait.
Just give me 2 more minutes, okay? And then I'll open up the floor. Just give me.
Okay.
Okay, just 2 more minutes. Okay. Now he says here. Now he quotes here from the Sefer Imre Bina, who's Miyashev the Minag, that people aren't Choshesh for this. He says that, in other words, even though when I give it to the guest, it's not his, he says, to be Makdish or to give to other people. Nevertheless, he's Zocha that he can eat it. And anyway, he wants to say that whatever I gave it to him, that's enough to fulfill the obligation. All right, you get the basic idea with this. Okay, what do you want to say,
what if you... Oh.
Robert had first, then I'll get you.
All right, but... Under this theory, to be machmir, wouldn't every person have to come to the Seder with their own matzah?
Yeah, I got it. You asked it. You heard it. I heard it. Chum geheret. Okay, so it means we're saying that the matzah has to belong to you. So either you come with your own matzah, or the host transfers total ownership of the matzah to you before the Seder. So then you have total ownership of it. But then
he doesn't own it.
No, he's not doing all the matzahs. In other words, so
he's retaining.
The matzah that you're eating is yours. The matzah that he's eating is his. So I have total ownership to do with the matzah that I'm about to eat, or that I'm going to do the mitzvah to do everything that I want with it. That's the idea, that I have to have like total ownership. Okay, what do you want to say? Fern is next. Then we'll take the next. Okay, go with Fern.
Just to follow up on Robert. So then you have to make a kinyan. Is eating it your kinyan, or you have to lift it?
Well, you would have to do a kinyan. There are different kinyanim you could do, but lifting hagbah would be one kinyan you could do.
Okay, my question is, if you put it on a credit card, say, you haven't paid for it yet, technically.
Yeah, so the thing is, he was saying...
Kedushin.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, but he was saying if the seller demands payment and you haven't paid for it, but where you pay with a credit card, I think the understanding between the parties is that, you know, it's going to be, you know, you'll pay in accordance with whatever the credit card requires.
Yeah,
I think
but legally, you're obligated to pay once you charge it.
I know. In accounting, it's a sale already.
You're already legally obligated to pay.
Yeah, but I'm saying, isn't it like an agreement you have with a credit card company that the bill comes and you'll pay? If you buy something on January 1st, you have to like February 1st to pay it. In other words, it's not that they expect the payment right away. It's if the seller says, I want my money now, and you don't give the money to the seller, then you run into problems. And then that's the problem. Okay. All right, any other questions, comments,
or thoughts? What about Kol Dichman Yesev Yechal?
Right.
They can't.
What does that mean?
So whoever's needy should come and eat. Yeah, they should come and eat, but it means that in order to fulfill the mitzvah matzah, they have to own the matzah. It doesn't undercut it. Okay. It
sounds kvetched.
All right, now I have to keep
moving. Sounds dochuk.
Okay, there's a he's got a whole piece here. This might interest you, Odate, or maybe everybody. Let me get it out here. Yeah, he describes a situation in Deir Yassin, which was an Arab village near Yerushalayim, you may recall from history.
Yeah, and the commander of the operation was Amnon.
Anyway, so in
Amnon's father. Amnon's father was the commander of the Deir Yassin operation, yeah.
Which Amnon who?
Amnon Moneta.
Oh, so the...
Anyway, but let's go. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so he relates that in 1949, so the Jews in Yerushalayim needed Maror, and they had this Maror that they were taking from Deir Yassin, and it gets into a whole thing whether they have to own the Maror, whether the Maror was that stolen, but I'm going to leave it. Let me move on in the Gemara, and we'll keep going. Any other questions of what we did so far? Okay, so we're on Lamed Chedem and Aleph. We're up to around midway down. We're by Rib Shimon ben Lakish. Okay. I need everybody to mute themselves. All right. Let me help. Okay. Now. Okay. So by Rib Shimon ben Lakish, Moshes Hidam Yidecho B'Tel B'Chala Shalmaser Sheni B'Yerushalayim. Now, again, before we quoted, there was Machloket between Rib Meir and the Chachamim, whether Maser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa or Mamon Hedyot. All right. So leave aside Rib Meir, focusing on the Chachamim, all right? So Maser Sheni will assume is Mamon Hedyot. It belongs to you, Maser Sheni. But let's assume, even assuming that, what about if you want to be Yotzei with the Chala of Maser Sheni B'Yerushalayim? Now, this is going to be more complicated. Now, let's just refresh your recollection, and this stuff will be for the people who did Sunday's daf, and I guess, Michael, this will be up your alley here. So let's just refresh your recollection. We did on Lamed Vav and Aleph. Let's go turn back two pages to 36a, the sixth line. We'll just go over briefly the Braisa. Everybody with me? So it says, Tan Rabbanan, Lamed Vav and Aleph, 36a, sixth line. Tan Rabbanan, Yehol Yotzei Adam Yidecho B'Tov B'Maser Sheni B'Yerushalayim. I might think that a person could fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with Maser Sheni in Yerushalayim. He says, Tamalomar Lechem Oni. He says, Ma or Mi Shenechal Ba'aninut, that it has to be a type of food that you could eat in the state of Aninut. Aninut is when, you know, Rachman Hassan, somebody's close relative, has died. And it, before Kavura, he says, Yatzezeh Shenonechal Ba'aninut Ela B'Simcha. So, Dibur Rabbi Yosei Glili. So Maser Sheni can only be in a state of Simcha. So according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, Bechlal, you can't use Maser Sheni. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Matzot Riba. Rabbi Kiva holds, no, the Torah says Matzot many times, and it teaches you that you can even use Maser Sheni. Okay, now let's look back on the Gemara in Lamed Chet. Keep one finger on Lamed Vav, though. Okay, back to Lamed Chet. So the Gemara says, one second. By Rib Shimon Lakish, Moshe said, "Am Yidecho B'Tov B'Chala Shel Maser Sheni B'Yerushalayim." Can I be Yotzei with the Chala of Maser Sheni in Yerushalayim? Means if I'm a Kohen, so I'll leave with Rabbi Yosi Glili Lo Tibay Lach. So within Rabbi Yosi Glili, the question doesn't get off the ground. Hashta B'Chulin Lo Nafik B'Chala Tomi Baya. So even Chulin Maser Sheni, according to Rabbi Yosi Glili, I'm dead in the water, right? Because I can't eat it in a state of aninus. So the Chala will come to see he's got more problems with it. He says, Kiti Bailach Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. But within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Maser Sheni, I could fulfill the mitzvah with. So then we have a question. Bechulin hu denafik. Now, then on Lamed Vavam Beis, again, this is going back to Sunday's daf. So the Gemara ends up saying that Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the idea. It says, Bechol Moshvo Techem. It says by matzah. In all your dwelling places, you should eat matzot. So Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the shita that the matzah has to be susceptible to being eaten anywhere. If I can't eat the matzah anywhere, I can't fulfill the mitzvah matzah anywhere either, at any location. So the Gemara says, so for Bikurim, I can't use Bikurim for the matzah. So the Gemara says, but Maser Sheni, So how can Rabbi Akiva say you can fulfill the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni with matzah with Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni after eating Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, yeah, but if the Maaser Sheni became Tameh, then I would be poda it and I would eat it outside Yerushalayim. So since there is a legal route how I could eat the Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, I'm allowed to eat it that way. Okay. So let's see back on the Gemara in Lamed Chedem and Aleph. So the Gemara says, Kiti Bailach Alibis Rabbi Akiva, Bechulin Hu Danafik, do we say I could be Yotze with Chulin means the Maaser Sheni, which is not Chalo, I could be Yotze, Demon Tamu Yeshlehen Heter B'moshavot. In other words, if it becomes Tameh, then I'll be poda it and I'll eat the Maaser Sheni in any place in the world. And so then that I could be Yotze. Of Al Chala, but let's say I have Maaser Sheni, which is the Chala. It was the Chala of Maaser Sheni. He says, the Iman Tamya, Leit Laheter B'moshavot, Uvulusrefa Azla. But if it's Chala, in this scenario, if it becomes Tame and it's Chala, then it has to be burned. So it's not going to be eaten anywhere in the world. So lo nafik. Do I say I can't be Yotze? Is that the way I'll analyze it? In other words, so it'll come out, according to Rabbi Akiva, I could be Yotze with Maaser Sheni Matzahs, but the challah means if I'm a Kohen, I can't be Yotze with the challah because the challah can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. And if it becomes Tameh, it can't be eaten anywhere in the world. O Dilma, or perhaps, Imrinan Hoil. Hoil means say it like if. Hoil v'il lo kara le'ashem v'itameh it laheter b'moshavot v'nafik ba. Since if he hadn't declared this to be challah and then it became Tameh be able to be Yotze, Hashanam and Nafik. Now also he could be Yotze with it. Now let's go slowly with this. So in essence, what he's saying is, we have two elements here, right? We have Maaser Sheni and we have Chala, right? So either one by itself is not such an impediment, right? So if it's Maaser Sheni, that by itself is not an impediment. If it's Chala, that by itself is not an impediment. It's not Maaser Sheni, right? We had Konim could eat matzah of challah, they could turn into matzah. That we learned that already. We had in the Mishnah. The Kohanim can eat matzahs from challah. So even though the Kohanim are the only ones who could eat it, but they could do it. But it's both of them together that's creating the problem, right? You have it? In other words, Maaser Sheni by itself is not a problem because it's not an insurmountable problem because there's a scenario in which I could eat that anywhere in the world. And then challah by itself is not a problem, even though only Kohanim could eat it. But when I combine them both together, then they become a problem. So do we say, Hoil, do I say, look, if Lu Yatsur, I had not declared it to be Chala, I could eat it. So the fact that I declared Chala is not so lethal to it. So, you know, I was talking to somebody in the Beis Medrash today, Rabbi Ike Sultan, and he was showing me from based on a Chidusha of David later in the Masechta, he was saying sometimes Hoil is like an idea, is a way of saying like the issue is not so significant. That's illegally significant. They say hoyel. In other words, the idea is like it's Maaser Sheni is okay. And these other things are not so crucial. So you can have this idea of hoyel. Okay, that's the first part. Okay, so let me pause for a second. Did everybody have this first idea or not?
What's the hoyel? I missed the hoyel.
Hoyel means I could say that had I not, in other words, the question is, can I be Yotze with this matzah, which is challah? You know, in can I be Yotze with, if I'm a Kohen and I have Maaser Sheni Chala that I'm eating in Yerushalayim, can I be Yotze the matzahs on Pesach with that? So on the one hand, I can't eat this anywhere in the world because the Chala can only be eaten in Yerushalayim and if it becomes Tameh, I can't eat it because I got to burn it. But on the other hand, I could say Hoyel, Lu Yatsur, I had not declared this to be Chala, then I could eat it anywhere in the world. It would just be Maaser Sheni. So maybe that's not so Machria. In other words, since the food had the potential as Maaser Sheni to be either challah or non-challah, so maybe it does qualify for the part that's edible.
Anyway. I know. I wonder. The ohil is the most used annoying word that lawyers use. In Israel, and I wonder if it means the same here. It means like whereas.
All right.
If it fits here, it fits in the sentence here.
Okay, just hold another 10 lines.
Oh, you don't want me to talk, okay.
No. Dave, we love hearing you, but I just want to focus on this. On
no, because we're talking about Ohil, and it's a very important word.
No, I hear, but I want to just focus on the Svar here in the Gemara. Well, okay. You'll talk about the Ohil with the lawyers in just 10 more lines, okay? So now, that's the first part. Now, Ika de Amri, others say, Havada lo tibailach, Havada yamin and hoil. Others want to say, in that first ukimta, fine, the in Achinami, we would say hoil. There's not a problem with that. He says, ki tibailach, chal alakuach bekesaf maser sheni. The case, which is more complicated, in other words, so to say hoil, that we would say hoil. But here we have a more complicated case with chala that was purchased with maser sheni money. In other words, I could have chala itself, right? In other words, maser sheni itself that was turned into chala. Then I could have maser sheni that was converted into money. Then I took the money and I purchased chala with it. And I declared this chala to be, or this bread to be chala. In other words, that's giving to the kohenim. So now the alibid rabbanon lo tibailach. Now the question is like this: when I reconvert the money into maser sheni, does it have the same dinim of maser sheni? When I had maser sheni, I had the tevuah, I was a farmer, and it was too much for Yerushalayim, so I was poed it with money. Then I got to Yerushalayim and I purchased food with it. Does the food that I purchased have the same level of kedusha as the original maser sheni? So there's a machloket about this. According to the Chachamim, it has the same level of kedusha. And just like I could be poda, we said before that if it becomes tame, I could be poda it. Any maser sheni, we said before, it could be poda if it becomes tame. So to this maser sheni, if it becomes tame, it could be poda as well. So I could eat it anywhere in the world. So it doesn't make a difference the original maser sheni or the purchase maser sheni. But according to a different opinion, which we'll see in a minute, according to Tana Reb Yehuda, it's not the same. It has lesser Kedusha. It has less Kedusha. And so as a result of having less Kedusha, I cannot be poed to it. In other words, in order to be poed to it, it has to have a minimum amount of Kedusha to be poed to it. If the Kedusha level goes too low, it doesn't have the Chashivas where I can be poed to it. The way the Rabbi Simon Wolf, I was listening to his tape today, he says if it's too much Kedusha, too little Kedusha, you can't be poed to it. Like he was saying, Kedusha the goof, you can't be poed to, and this you can't be poed to. So let's see in a minute. So this is going to be more complicated now. So he says, okay, kiti b'alach chalokua b'kesa maser sheni, but libid rabbanon lo tibailach. Within the Chachamim, you don't have a question. Kaven da'amri yipade, since they say if it becomes tame, you can still redeem it. Hainu maser, that's the same, the zelbazach, same as maser. Maser became tame, so I could be poted and eat anywhere in the world. This becomes tame, I could be poted and eat anywhere in the world, fine. Kiti b'alach libid Rabbi Yehuda da'amar yikaver. But within the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he says, I lose the option to be poed to it. So he says, Ditnan, because we learn in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Masechet Maser Sheni, Halakuach Bekesef Maser Sheni Shenitma Yipadeh, that which is purchased with the money from Maser Sheni, if it becomes Tame, you're poed it, that's the Zalbazach, the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yikaber. Rabbi Yehuda says that now it has to be buried. So now I have a more complicated situation. He says, now, Miyam Rinan, Hoyel v'ilo lakuachavi. In other words, now, what do I have? So I have the chala of this maser sheni. Again, so I converted my maser sheni into money. I went to Yerushalayim, and then Yerushalayim, I took the money and I purchased different foods, but with some of the food, I declared it to be chala. So now this chala. So before we had the question, can I eat the challah anywhere in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Israel? No, but if it would be regular maaser, I could eat it anywhere. So we said maybe like hoil, since I didn't have to declare it to be challah, but it would be maaser, the maaser could become tamei, be potent, can eat it anywhere in Eretz Israel. So it was okay. Here I have the challah again. Now if the challah, if I didn't declare it to be challah, so it would be maaser. But even the maaser, I couldn't be poda, you know, if it became tame to eat anywhere in Eretz Israel. So the Gemara says like this, Miyam Rinan, Hoel v'ilo lakuachave, do I say, if it had not been purchased with money, in other words, if it had been original maser, he says, v'hoel v'lo karala shame, v'itame, yeshlo heter b'mo shavot, benafik. In other words, can I say two hoels? Hoel, if it wasn't like the repurchased maser sheni, and it wasn't declared to be challah, so doubling over with the hoels, can I do that? He says, "Venafik bay, hashanam inafik bay, odilma chad hoel omrin, tre hoel lo omrin." Do we say one hoel? I'll say two hoels. I won't say. Whereas, do we say that these impediments are too much. They're accumulating. Now, I'll say to you that Rashi, if you look at the Rashi, six lines above where it gets wide, Rashi wants to say that the fact that I can't be poed to it doesn't mean that this is a more stringent status. It's really a more lenient status. In other words, it's not logical that things should be more restricted because in terms of the dinim of being yotze with the matzah with it. In other words, the fact that I can't be poed to it just means it doesn't have that much kedusha. It doesn't make sense that I would end up with this chumra that I can't use it for matzah. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, why is it that it has this ostensible chumra that I can't be poed to it? Because it has less kedusha. So it's less kedusha, that's less reason to cut that I can't use it for matzah. Anyway, let me just do one more line, then I'll pause, then we'll take some questions. Okay, so Amarava, Mistaber Shemai Serachadhu. So Rava says it's logical, that means if we're calling it Master Shani, we're having one din for Master Shani. Yeah, you have all these little different pratim. It could be this, that, the other. But there's one halakha for Master Shani. Master Shani Bechlal, we say there is a root where you could eat it anywhere. So that everything is included with Master Shani. And again, he came up with all these, like, you know, ukimtas this way, that way, the other way. So there are situations where you would run into problems. But in Achinami, it's all maaser. Meaning, in essence, we're going to say two hoyils. And the idea being that we're saying these are not, you know, significant halakhic barriers to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, now, who's just got questions on the Gemara? Then I'll come to you, Odeid. So who's asked questions on the Sfar that we did? Any questions on what we did so far?
Yeah, why did he make this maaser sheni chal?
Because he has to give to the Kohen. It was via Maser Sheni. I have to give the challah to the Kohen.
That's if the Maser Sheni is into bread, and then he's going to make matzahs or whatever, and he has to be mafresh. It's not that regular Maser Sheni.
Right, that's what I'm confused about. Maser Sheni does not need to get challah.
No. In other words, anytime you'd be chayav with challah with chulin, you're chayav challah with Maser Sheni.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now, Odeid, did you want to say something about the lawyers in Israel?
So the lawyers in Israel, it's like, it's very legal. Ohil is today is a very legal word that I'm trying to understand. Ohil is a show, you know, ifil, and understand how. But I think I read while you were talking about, I read that how is it in halacha that is basis, you know, for, you know, ilchot yom tov. You know, that ohil v'kayemet, you know, like we can.
There's a different.
If you're allowed to do something in your right,
there's different ho'wheels and shas. Okay. Okay. Now, I'm going to go further in the Gemara now. Two lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? All right. Now, chala toda rikiki nazir v'chuli. Now, we said in the Mishnah, this Mishnah goes back to Thursday night's daf, right? It was when Lamed Hey, Shabbos' daf, rather. Yeah. So on Shabbos, we said that Chalot Rikiki Nazir, on Lamed Hey and Aleph, Asan Lasmo in Yotzei Bahen, if I made Chalot Toda, Chalot doesn't mean it's chametz, it's matzah, but I made it as a Chalot for the Toda, or the Rikiki Nazir, the wafers for the Nazir, and it could be Rikikim for the Toda, or Chalot for the Nazir, he says, but if I made it for myself, asan la'atzmo yotzei bahen, asan l'mkor b'shuk yotzim bahen. So according to the Tana Mishnah, in other words, I made matzahs for korban purposes, and now I want to be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah with it. So if I made it for myself, for my own korban, I can't fulfill my mitzvah matzah with it. I want to divert its purpose. But if I made it to sell, then I could. So we'll explain in the Gemara what the issue is. Okay, so two lines from the bottom. Where do we know this halacha from? Amar Rabba da Amar Kra, turn page. It says you should guard the matzahs. Matzah mishtameret l'shem matzah, yetzazu shem mishtameret l'shem matzah el l'shem zevach. Means that the matzah has to be made, prepared, you know, not just guarded from water coming onto it, which it has to be guarded, but all the preparations have it l'shem matzah's mitzvah. I have to have it. My intent is this should be used for the mitzvah of matzah. He says, but this one, when I baked it to, let's say the person was a nazir, he was baking it to use with his korban, he intended to use it for his korban nazir, for the korban toda, not for the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Pesach. On the third line, Rav Yosef Amar, Amar Kura Shvatim Matzot Tochelu. Now, Rashi points out that Rav Yosef agrees with Rabbah. Again, Rabbah and Rav Yosef are Bar Pluktis Rachas, but Rav Yosef agrees with Rabbah that you have to have the Shem Matzis Mitzvah. Rav Yosef said you need another prat, another detail as well. Rav Yosef Amar, Amar Kura Shvatim Matzot Tochelu, Matzah Nechelet L'Shivat Yamim, Yatzizu Shena Nechelet L'Shivat Yamim L'Yom V'Layla. I have to have in mind as well, according to Rav Yosef, that the matzah should be re'ui to be eaten all of Pesach, not just on, in other words, I want it L'Shem Matzah's Mitzvah, but it should be a matzah that I could eat anywhere during Pesach. So this one, he just has in mind to eat it for Yom V'Layla. He just has in mind to eat it for the day of the Korban. Now, he's not using it for the Korban, but it means that that's the reason it was baked for. All right, now, Tani Kabati de Rabba, Tani Kabati Rav Yosef. We'll learn a brisa that supports each one of them. Tani Kabati de Rabba, Yechol Yetzayidecho Vato, B'chalot Toda Rikike Nazir. I might have thought that one could fulfill one's obligation for matzah with chalot toda. When it says again, chalot is a type of matzah. Again, the korban toda, you have 40 loaves of bread. 40 loaves of bread means 10 loaves are chametz and 30 loaves of matzah, but the matzah are made in different fashions. So some of the matzahs are called chalot. But chalot toda, rikikin nazir. And rikikim or another type of matzah. And they're rikikim by the korban toda as well. He says, I might have thought I could be yotze with those. Tamad lomar, ushmar temen amatzot. Matzah mishtemeret l'shem matzah. It has to be matzah that was guarded, baked. All the preparations were made l'shem matzah's mitzvah. Yetzazu she'en mishtemeret l'shem matzah l'shem zevach. L'shem zevach. This one was made to be used with a korban, so it looks and tastes the same as any other matzah, but it wasn't made l'shem matzah's mitzvah on the night of the Seder, so you can't be yotzei the mitzvah. That's the first brisa that supports Rabbah. Tani kavati Rav Yosef. We learned a brisa that supports Rav Yosef. Yechol yisei adam yidecho v'to b'chalo toda rikike nazir. I might have thought I could do the chalo toda and rikike nazir. Tamalomer shivat mimatzot tochelu. That 7 days she matzahs matzah nechel l'shiva. It has to be a matzah that's eaten for 7 days. It's only eaten for a day and a night. Now, 1 second. Give me 1 second with this. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. Yes, yeah, I don't think I explained something 100% so correct. It has to be fit for consumption for 7 days, is what Rav Yosef is saying. Right.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Exactly what you said.
Okay. So, in other words, he has to have in mind the Shem Asas Mitzvah, but it has to be fit for consumption for 7 days. Okay. So that's those are the two brises, and that's where we're at right now. Okay. Now,
What would not be fit for consumption for 7 days that's fit for consumption and is a matzah mitzvah for the first day or two?
Yeah, so he's saying, let's say like these matzahs, let's say he bakes these matzahs, let's say he would bake it for Rikike Nazir, and he's thinking it could also be for matzah mitzvah, but he just stop and bakes the matzah for matzah mitzvah, but thinks it's only going to be, in other words, the Rikiki Nazir can only be eaten for 1 day and one night. So he has to bake it. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Does it mean that his kavanah is that way or that it legally has
that's
to be that
way? That's my question.
Okay, 1 second. 1 second. Right, their intent, right. They were made, right. Right. So in other words, right. So he's saying that it goes back to the intent, which is the way I originally explained it. In other words, like he had originally intended it that it should be matzah, which is going in within 24 hours, which is what the Rikike Nazir and the Chalot for the Korban Toda are like. So he says, let's say you made matzah with both intents in mind, to use it for Pesach and for a Toda or Nazir offering. According to Rabbah, one could fulfill his Pesach obligation for Sentra Matzah, because he's got the intent for that. He's got the Shem Matzah's Mitzvah. According to Rav Yosef, the Matzah is disqualified. His intent is to use it for the Toda Nazir, his intent to limit its consumption. In other words, when I bake it, I can't have the intent that there should be a time limit on when I could eat it. So if I have an intent that it should be used or could also potentially be used for the nazir or for the korban todah, so I'm in essence limiting its time for eating for 24 hours.
Oh, like a pigel matzah.
Well, it's all right, but you get the idea. All right, now, all right. Any other questions on what we did so far? All right, let me go further. Now, so let's see what we got in the Gemara. Okay, Eliam. Okay, now the Gemara says, "V'tepikle milechem oni." Now, why can't we say that the Todah and the Nazir we said aren't good because it's not l'shem matzah mitzvah, and it's also according to Rav Yosef, it's limited in the number of hours, the time you could eat it. But why is there a more fundamental problem with the using the you know the rekike nazir or the kalo toda, but typically min lechemoni, misha ne'achal banino. This is Rabbi Yossi's drasha we had just a little while earlier, and you had it on Sunday that it has to be susceptible to be eaten banino. Yes, zeshen ne'achal banino ela b'simcha. So if I'm using something which I'm designating as you know rekike nazir or kalo toda. So that cannot be eaten banino. So isn't there a more fundamental flaw with it? So Sabalak Rabbi Akiva the Amar Aniktiv. So the Tana of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Akiva, who says the Torah says not oni. It's in other words the way that it says lechem oni, but the way it's written in the Torah is ani ayin nun yud, meaning he doesn't learn that drasha about there has to be eaten banino. But typically they love matzah ashira. Isn't there another problem with the you know kike nazir and the chalo toda that it's matzah ashira? There's oil mixed in with it, and you know again for the mitzvah matzah, it has to be like lechem ani. You know, is the way an ani would eat, which is not with you know matzah ashira. We had that on Shabbat as well. And he had it on Sunday also. His Natsa Ashira. So Amar Shmuel Rav Yitzchak Reviyati Min Chalekahi Lekama Chalot. In other words, the amount of oil that's being added is so infinitesimal. You're adding one Reviyat is, let's say, like between 3 and 5 fluid ounces of oil to about 20 different Chalas, 20 different Matzahs. So and the Matzahs are like 100. What did they say here? They gave a figure. They said it's like, they said between 73 and 140 cups. So let's say 100 cups of flour, and you have, let's say, you know, 3 to 5 fluid ounces of oil. It's so infinitesimal. So it's not matzah ashira. But typically, the einan nechalot b'chol moshavot, why can't I say that the rekiki nazir and the chalot toda have to be eaten in Yerushalayim? And we learned that, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, it has to be eaten b'chol moshavoteichem. You have to be able halachically be able to eat it anywhere. So Amar Reish Lakish Zoro Mered Chalot Toda Rekiki Nazir Ne'achalim B'no V'Givon. So he says that the Tana of our Mishnah is machloket in the Gemara Masechet Zevachim, but the Tana of our Mishnah must hold that when the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon, I think it was 52 years when the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon, and the Aaron was not there. So this machloket what korbanot could be brought in Nov and Givon, but the Tana of our Mishnah holds that the Korban Shlamim of a Nazir could be brought in Nov and Givon, and at that time you could eat the Rekikim anywhere, at least anywhere in Eretz Israel, you could eat it. So therefore it could be eaten anywhere. Okay, so let's see further. Let me wrap this up, and then we'll summarize. Okay, so Tanya Amr Biloy Shaalti Ed Reb Lezer. So Reb Biloy says, I asked the Tan Reb Lezer, Moshe Sedam B'Chalot Toda Rekiki Nazir. Can a person fulfill his obligation for matzah with Chalot Toda? Anyway, let me just go before. So again, so the Mishnah said that if you made the Chalot and the Rekikim for yourself, you can't be Yotzei, because you made it with intent, presumably, to use it in a korban. So if you're making an intent to use it in the korban, so you're running afoul, it's not l'shem asas mitzvah, and according to Rav Yosef, it's also just intent to be limited in to how long you can eat it. But if you made it to sell, the Gemara is going to explain, when I make it to sell, I have kavanah to whatever the purpose the person wants to use it for, and then that would be good. So let's just wrap it up, and then we'll come back again. So Tani Amar Biloy Sha'alti Reb Lezer, Maushi Seitam B'chalot Toda Rekiki Nazir. So I asked the Tani Reb Lezer, could a person fulfill the mitzvah matzah B'chalot Toda Rekiki Nazir? Amar li lo shamati. He says, I didn't hear that. I don't know. So Bativ Sha'alti lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. Then I asked Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer or Bar Pluktas. Those are the two that carried Rabbi Yochum and Zakai out of Yerushalayim, you know, during the Churban. So Amar li, Hari Amru, Chalotza Rikiki Nazir Shasan La'atmo. So he, Rabbi Yeshua, is quoting like the statement which is, later on appears in our Mishnah, that if you make it La'atmo, Ein Adam Yotzei Bahen, Lim Korba Shuk Yotzei Bahen. If you made it to sell in the shuk, your yotze, Shabbati v'yir seiti d'varim lefnei Reb Lezer, when I presented those words before Reb Lezer, Amarli, Brit is like Lashon Shvua, hein heina d'varim sha'amru lo l'moshe b'sinai. Those are the words that were said by Moshe b'sinai. It's interesting that at first he said that he says lo shamati, and then he says these are the things that were said by Moshe b'sinai. The only thing I can think of, I didn't see this anywhere yet, but let me see if anybody says anything. Is that Reb Lezer, remember the Gemara in Sukkah says that Reb Lezer never said anything he didn't hear from one of his Rebbeim. In other words, he never said any Torah that he hadn't heard from one of his Rebbeim. And here he says it was said B'Sinai. So it could be that he had determined that it was said B'Sinai, but he hadn't heard it explicitly from his Rebbeim. That's the only thing, because he said Lo Shamati. I don't know, but I'm sure somebody must say something like that. Let's see the next piece. Ikita Amri, others say that the conversation or the statement from Reb Lezer went like this. In other words, not that it's a statement. Were those said B'Sinai? Below Tamabai, it doesn't require a reason. In other words, like he's saying, this is what, you know, the halacha is. Don't we require for the reason for it? So the Gemara says the Tamabai. So what taka is the reason for it? So Amaraba, Kol Ashuk. So anybody who's selling like the matzahs in the marketplace, Imluchi Mimlich, he says to himself, Amar imizdaban mizdaban. He says, if I sell it, so I'll sell it. Ilo mizdaban epik buwana. In other words, if I sell it, and the person needs it for a korban toto, or the nazir needs it, so showing that's good. But otherwise, the default is I'll use it for my own Pesach obligations. So he has in mind, and Rashi says, the last Rashi, Epek Buwanam, Dechobet Matzah. So he had in mind that it would be L'Shem Matzah. So then he could use L'Shem Matzah's mitzvah. All right, now, so I mentioned on Shabbos, but there weren't so many people around, but so this part, the Shem Matzah Mitzvah is obviously very important. So it comes up with machine-made matzahs, because one issue is with the machine-made matzah, you know, sometimes they'll say that machine-made matzahs are shmura, but they mean in terms of being guarded from any water, you know, mishat katsira. But can you have the Shem Matzah Mitzvah with the machine-made matzah? Is there such a concept with a machine that it's the Shem Matzah Mitzvah? So I mentioned on Shabbos that I visited the Manischewitz matzah factory once, and they had, at that time, there was a button that started, I remember the button, and above the button, it said in Hebrew and in Russian, it said L'Shem Matzah Mitzvah. So the person who hits the button has L'Shem Matzah Mitzvah. But even with that kavana, even assuming they do that, it's questionable, does that kavana help if you do it with a machine? You know, that's one issue, L'Shem Matzah Mitzvah. And I think that when they bake the matzahs, like they're busy saying the Shem Matzah Mitzvah all the time. And some people are mahadir, of course, to bake their own matzahs, which is ideal. All right, now, let me just mention one other thing, and then that'll be it. I don't know, they have a piece here in the Morot Daf Yomi. They talk about a person, he would bake two sets of matzahs. So he would bake like matzahs, you know, for Pesach, and say L'Shem Matzah. And then on Erev Pesach, he would bake matzahs to eat at the Seder, and he would say, these are L'Shem Matzah's mitzvah, which I'm going to eat at the Seder, that type of thing. And then one year, he wasn't able to bake the matzahs to eat at the Seder, and the question was, can he be Yotze with the earlier matzahs that he did L'Shem Matzah? In other words, perhaps his Kavanah L'Shem Matzah's mitzvah is just maybe the ones on Erev Pesach, not the one that he's baking for the whole Pesach. Whatever the halach will be in that case, though, so some hold that you have enough kavana, like if you're baking matzahs for Pesach, showing that's good, and lav dafka that it has to be like for Leil HaSeder, that would be one stream of thought. But if you're baking all the matzahs together, vadai, then certainly your kavanah is L'Shem Matzah's mitzvah for that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did tonight? All right. Let me end the recording. There we go. Okay.